the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, just some shameless self-promotion. I did just drop a lyric video last night for my song called Music Police. You can check that out on my website, katietrop.net, or you could just go to my YouTube channel, just type in Katie Trop and you'll find it on there. But check it out. Brand new. Gonna be filming a new music video this weekend too, so be on the lookout. It's about to get fucking crazy. But speaking of crazy, man, we are stuck in sports purgatory right now. I mean, usually right after the Super Bowl ends, that's where we go as sports fans. I mean, lucky for me, I am a year-round type of sports fan since I like football, baseball, and basketball. I'm at least covered year-round. But this time of year, right after the Super Bowl, is just like the worst time of year until March Madness, basically, because right now, I mean, the NBA All-Star break starts this weekend, so we don't even have any NBA, just the gimmicky All-Star break. Then you do have college basketball, which is, there are a bunch of rivalry games going on right now as well. But, I mean, college basketball really doesn't take off until March Madness, and we still have a couple weeks until that. And, you know, we're stuck. We don't have any type of baseball. And even if we did have any type of baseball coming up, we don't currently because of the lockout. And so right now as a sports fan, pretty much fucking sucks. But I actually do have plenty to talk about today. And I do have some segments that I've created that I'm going to be doing over the next at least couple of weeks until March Madness rolls around to talk about. So believe me, I'm good to go with topics. Let's go ahead and start with some NFL quick hits. The Super Bowl ratings came in, a whopping 112.3 million people watched. That's the most watched show in the last 5 years. So most watched Super Bowl II since Super Bowl 51 with the Patriots versus the Falcons. That garnered 113 million people. So that's big doings. I mean, even though you just had the Los Angeles Rams, who don't have a big fan base, and then the Cincinnati Bengals, they've got a great fan base, but they're mostly, Bengals fans are mostly in Cincinnati. They're not like Packers fans or Cowboys fans or 49ers fans or Steelers fans. There's some of these fan bases where you could find a Packers fan who's just, you know, in Maine. You know what I mean? You could find Cowboys fans. I grew up in Reno, Nevada, and I'm a Cowboys fan, you know, so you're going to find some teams. We got deep fan bases. But to see that these two fan bases garnered that much attention during the Super Bowl is great. The halftime show, 103.4 million people watched, stuck around for the halftime show. Like I said, great halftime show. They got a great show, especially if you like that kind of music. But to all those people over the years who have been, quote, boycotting the NFL, apparently that hasn't worked too well for you since, NFL football in particular is basically the most watched thing on television right now. So good on those boycotts, and for whatever reason you're boycotting, because there's been many of these dumbass boycotts on football since even before the dumbass Kaepernick shit. Before that, there was like CTE and all that kind of crap. So people have been threatening the NFL boycott for, I'd say, at least the last 15 years. And it's kind of funny because NFL ratings have gone in the exact opposite direction that they've wanted. And the Super Bowl only proves it because, like I said, these are not two marquee teams. It's just we love us some motherfucking football in this country. And that's straight the fuck up. The Vikings, they were the last team that needed to hire a coach. They hired the Rams offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell. That's basically why they had to wait, because he was coaching the Super Bowl, so they had to wait to hire him. So that's the last coaching position filled. And now next up, we have the NFL Combine. That's in a couple weeks. That's the first weekend of March, which to me is usually just overrated bullshit. I mean, it's usually just it's just a bunch of dudes working out, and you really can't gauge much off of that. So the Combine's not really that big of a deal. Free agency starts, I believe, March 15th or March 16th in that area. And then the NFL draft is at the end of April. So we've got a lot coming up. Let's see the draft order right now. Jacksonville Jaguars are number one. Detroit Lions are number two. Houston Texans are number three. New York Jets are number four. And New York Giants are number five. And really, other than the Giants, those top four teams right there have pretty much had like a top 10 draft pick in the last, like, it's been very consistent with those four teams in particular having high draft picks, and that doesn't say a lot about them. Now, it is nice to get a high draft pick every once in a while, but when you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just had the first pick in the draft last year and now have it for the second year in a row, that doesn't say a lot about your team. But then after the Giants, you know, you got the Carolina Panthers at number six. Then you got the Giants again at number seven because they made a trade with the Bears. Atlanta Falcons are at eight. Denver Broncos, nine. Then the New York Jets again at number 10. That's a trade from the Seahawks. The Washington Commanders are at number 11. The Vikings are at number 12. Cleveland Browns, 13. Baltimore Ravens, 14. Then you've got the Eagles, number 15, which was a trade from the Dolphins. Then you've got the Eagles again at 16, which was a trade from the Colts. Then you've got the Chargers at 17, the Saints at 18, Eagles again at 19, Pittsburgh Steelers at 20, Patriots at 21, Raiders at 22, Cardinals 23, Cowboys 24, Bills 25, Titans 26, Tampa Bay 27, Packers, 28, then the Dolphins at 29, which is a trade from the Niners, and the Chiefs at 30, Cincinnati Bengals, 31st, and then the Lions get the 32nd pick because they made a trade with the Rams last year. So that's the draft order right now. Things can get shaken up at any point. I mean, there's a couple teams here with some, you know, you got the Giants that have two top 10 picks. You've got the Jets that have two top 10 picks. Then you've got the Eagles who have like three picks out of five, kind of in the 15 to 19 area. So there's some trade bait there. I mean, who knows what the Jaguars are going to do. But a lot of these, like I said, those top teams, they seem to always be at the top, and that's never a good thing. So let's see if they could turn some shit around. I doubt it because those teams aren't really good at turning shit around, but we'll see what happens there. And then just some notable free agents who will be out there. You've got at wide receiver, there's a ton of wide receivers out there this year, even beyond what I'm going to mention. I'm just going to mention some highlights here. But at wide receiver, you've got Davante Adams, Mike Williams, Chris Godwin, Odell Beckham Jr., Juju Smith-Schuster. Then you've got a couple offensive linemen. You got Teron Armstead. You've got Brandon Sheriff. You got Dwayne Brown. You got a couple quarterbacks out there. Not great quarterbacks, but, you know, they might serve as good backups or good placeholders for teams still working their way through finding an actual legit quarterback for the future. That's Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater. And then on the defensive side of the ball, at safety, we've got Jesse Bates, Tyrann Mathieu, Quandre Diggs. Got a few linebackers out there. You got Von Miller, Chandler Jones, Leighton Vander Esch. Defensive lineman, you got Randy Gregory and Jadeveon Clowney. And then at cornerback, you got Stephon Gilmore. So there's a lot, and that's just those are just the highlights. There's actually quite a few free agents out there available for all the teams this year. So that's what we're going to be talking here the next few months, is just what's going to be going on with free agency and the draft order. And there should be some trades here, I would imagine, once the draft gets close. We still are going to have to see what happens with Deshaun Watson if he ends up getting traded. Carson Wentz, he may end up getting released or traded. Russell Wilson, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Aaron Rodgers. So there's a lot of storylines going into the NFL offseason that we are going to have plenty to talk about. And then, you know, we got NBA. Like I said, they're heading into the All-Star break this weekend. They are going to be playing in Cleveland this weekend. I stated in the previous episode, I don't usually watch the All-Star game or the three-point shootout and skills competition and the slam dunk competition really anymore, because it's just not fun. It's too gimmicky for me. I kind of feel like with the slam dunk competition, they do too much bullshit. They're jumping over cars. They're jumping over celebrities when it's just like, you know, there's something to just a regular old slam dunk. I know they can't do that anymore because, you know, you got to get your cool little Instagram shout outs and whatever the fuck you need this year, or I mean in this day and age. But yeah, the All-Star break's usually pretty boring. And if I'm watching it, it's because there's absolutely nothing else on for me to watch. So we'll see. I more than likely won't be watching it, but it could happen. We actually had a really good last week of basketball going into the second half. The Boston Celtics, like I said, they cracked my top 10 this year in the power ranking, or this week in the power rankings, because they just continue to dominate, and they did it again. They absolutely blew out the Philadelphia 76ers, a legit contender this year, by 48 points. And it wasn't even close from the jump. It was such a massive blowout. And so that was an interesting game. But then the 76ers came back last night and beat the Bucks by 3 points. So, I mean, it was more of a big game for Boston rather than the 76ers, because also the Sixers just had made that trade, so they did lose a few players. And James Harden isn't playing yet, so they didn't have their full force of players out there. And then Miami went in double overtime last night against the Charlotte Hornets. They beat them 111-107. And then on Wednesday night, Denver and Golden State played an amazing game against each other. Denver ended up winning 117-116, but it was a crazy game. And so that's what we're going into in the All-Star break. And then as far as injuries go, let's see if you've heard this one before, but Anthony Davis is injured yet again for the Lakers. He just came back from injury, and he suffered a pretty bad foot sprain the other night, and it looks like he's going to be out for another month. So we'll see how the Lakers are able to weather that storm. It really sucks, because every time either AD or LeBron comes back, they tend to get injured again, and especially AD. This guy is, I love the way he plays the game when he's on the court, but I don't know if the Lakers should stick with this guy anymore. I kind of feel like they might want to look into trading him next year, because that's really the only way they're going to get some worth out of him, because he's been injury prone his entire career, from start to finish, really. And that's always been the knock on him, because when he's healthy, he is the man. He's an excellent player when he's healthy, but he just continues to get injured, and you need the dude for a full season, especially this Lakers squad, because we are the geriatric squad. We have the oldest team in the league, and while LeBron's having a spectacular season, there's nothing bad you could say about that dude's game this year, but other than him, we ain't got shit. And so it sucks to see that again. And then more injury news. Another guy who's constantly injured and who's been injured his entire career is Zion Williamson. He may need another surgery on his foot, and he has yet to play this season. So if that happens, I would imagine we're not going to see him play at all this season. It's looking like the dude is a bust at this point. I mean, when he's on the court, he looks like he's playing well too, but he just keeps gaining weight, and he just keeps getting hurt. So I don't know if he's gonna ever really be the basketball player we thought he'd turn out to be. But those are the major injury news that happened this week. And so since we're going into the second half of the season, the league leaders right now, we got the league leader in points per game is Joel Embiid at 29.6 points per game. Rebounds is led by Rudy Gobert, 14.8. And assists, Chris Paul with 10.7 assists per game. And the league leader in three-pointers, of course, is Steph Curry with 251. He is leading right now. The guy in second place is Van Vliet And he is, he's got 201. So yeah, Steph Curry is just, he's something else when it comes to three-pointers. That's for damn sure. And then it was announced as well today that if the owners and the Players Association with baseball don't come to an agreement by February 28th, which is 10 days from now, that means the start of the season is not going to happen at the start of the season. They also pushed back spring training to March 5th, so we're getting to the nitty-gritty here, where they need to come to an agreement. Now, they have in the past, in all the sports, there have been times where they've come to an agreement, like, right before the deadline. So it can happen, but things are not looking so bright for us to have a full baseball season this year. But there's still 10 days to go. We'll see what happens there. And then in college football, it was also announced today that the college football playoff is going to remain at four teams through at least the 2025 season, and that's something I totally agree with. I don't agree with the expansion of a college football playoff. I think a lot of these other schools, and I am one of these other schools, I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, but the way I see it with the Longhorns is they need to actually be a better team. And it's funny to me that people think we need to make it like eight teams or 16 teams, and they would think that would magically eliminate all of these SEC teams and we would finally see new teams in the college football playoff. And it's like, no, we won't, because the SEC just gets better. And the SEC would just continue to beat up on all of the other lower ranked teams. And, you know, we'll get these random Michigans or Longhorns or Oklahoma every once in a while who will come out of nowhere and they might make the college football playoff. But I'm sorry, we're not going to beat the SEC. It's just not going to happen. And expanding the playoffs is just going to add more SEC teams into it. And we're still going to end up with the same result. So I like that it's at four teams. An expansion of eight teams just feels like it's way too many teams. You would just let it, because in college, it really is about the only top four to six teams are actually legit national championship contenders. And everything else below that, they're down there for a reason. And it's not the SEC's fault that they've just built a great division over the years, and until they become less attractive to all the good players in the country, it's just going to keep being the SEC. Even whenever Alabama, whenever Nick Saban finally decides to retire, whatever, I still think they would be a great team just even 3 to 5 years after he's out, because of all the great deep recruiting he has done with that school. So, I mean, acting like we're getting rid of the SEC, it's just not going to happen. I like four teams. I think four teams makes it, it's the best competition out there. And expanding it's just going to water it down. And just four teams, I think, is the perfect match. And that's the way it's going to be, at least for the next few years running through 2025. And so that's all the new stuff covering all the sports. And so I decided, because, you know, I love the sport of football. Out of all the sports, I love football the most. I've always loved football the most. I love the history of it. I've watched plenty of old games, old Super Bowls. I know a lot about old players. And there's just many players I've watched in the past where I'm like, damn, I wish I could have seen that player play. So I went ahead and I'm going to go name off my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play. I started with five, but it was, as I'm putting the list down, I'm like, shit, man, it's just expanding and expanding. So I went ahead and I went with the top 10 over a top five. I picked players who I personally just, I love to see their game. I when I watch highlights of them, I'm like, damn, that's just crazy. They played the game like that. And I also picked maybe like key guys who are like the main guy from maybe like a defense of that certain era that was great. So you pick one of the guys just to at least represent an entire defense or an entire offense or hell, even an entire team. But so let's go ahead and kick it off. My top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play. Number 10, is Jack Tatum. I had to start it off with Jack Tatum. You know, I had to put Jack Tatum in my top 10. I mean, hello, he's the intro track to my whole podcast. So I had to put him on here. And I mean, really, for real, when I remember the first time I saw highlights of him, he played from 1971 to 1980. Played the majority of his time with the Oakland Raiders, except for 1 year. I can't remember who he played with. I think it was the Oilers who he ended up playing with. He was a free safety, and I just remember he was a part of the 70s Oakland Raiders defense that was led by John Madden at coach. This is one of the most intense, scary defenses you will ever see. I mean, football players of today wouldn't even be able to handle it. Like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes would be shitting their fucking diapers if they had to play against the defenses of the 70s, and especially this Oakland Raiders defense, which had Jack Tatum, one of the hardest hitters you will ever fucking see. That is what he was known for. He was the assassin. That was his nickname. And he just was a killer. And if you've ever seen Ronnie Lott, Jack Tatum was Ronnie Lott before Ronnie Lott hit the league. So, man, just watching highlights of Jack Tatum, it's just intense. He won a Super Bowl. He won Super Bowl XI with John Madden as his coach. And so that's number 10 on my top 10 players of the past I wish I could have seen play. Number 9 is Walter Payton. He played from 1975 to 1987. With the Chicago Bears, he was their running back. He spent his entire career as a Chicago Bear. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. The way he ran the ball was just something else. I don't even think anybody to this day can really even compare to what Walter Payton did on the field. He was MVP in 1977. He won Super Bowl XX with the Chicago Bears. He ended his career with 16,726 yards rushing. That at the time was the league leading rusher, and it didn't get broken until Emmitt Smith. Walter Payton, he's just one of the greatest running backs of all time. And when I watch highlights of him, I'm like, damn, that guy, there ain't nothing like him in the league today. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play, Mean Joe Green. Played 1969 to 1981 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a defensive tackle, and he is one of the greatest defensive players of all time. Like I mentioned about Jack Tatum and that Oakland Raiders defense, you didn't want to go up against them, and you definitely didn't want to go up against his Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I mean, it was led by Mean Joe Green, but they were stacked from top to bottom. And one thing about these defenses in the 70s, they were allowed to be grimy and dirty, and they would beat the fucking shit out of you. They were just killers, and it's just so much fun to watch that kind of football played, especially on defense, because nowadays, defense is so weak. And because all the rules are favored in the offense, because everybody likes offense. And I don't have a major problem with it. I do have a problem with how you can't really touch the quarterback anymore. I hate when there's a huge hit on a wide receiver that they call a flag on that. It's like, I don't know what you expect. But when you watch somebody like Mean Joe Green, that guy, he trust me, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't know shit if he had Mean Joe Green coming at him. Mean Joe Green is a 4-time Super Bowl champ with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won Super Bowl 9, 10, 13, and 19. He was Defensive Player of the Year twice in 1972 and 1974. And he's just one of the greatest defenders of all time. He's also one of the first kind of... one of the first guys who really got... in a commercial. He was in the famous Coca-Cola commercial where he throws the kid the jersey and he gives him a Coke. So that's kind of, not only was he a great defender, but he kind of opened up he paved the way for athletes getting in commercials and getting sponsorships and that kind of stuff. So then number 7 on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play is Bart Starr. He played from 1956 to 1971, Green Bay Packers quarterback. He actually played in the league before it was the NFL. So technically, he's a 7-time champion. He has won 5 championships before the NFL formed. He won a championship in 1961, 62, 65, 66, and 67. He was MVP in 1966, and he won Super Bowl I and II. And one of the reasons why I wish I could have seen him is it's so cool to watch quarterbacks of old, because a lot of people today think the running quarterback just magically happened, like when Michael Vick rolled around. And that's not true. The running quarterback was actually what football used to be. And especially when Bart Starr played, he did a lot of running rather than passing. Now, he was a part of the whole revolution into mostly, because the league did used to be mostly running, and then it changed to a passing league. And so he kind of was the impetus of that with Vince Lombardi. But I mean, this team absolutely dominated. They just dominated every year. They dominated every game. And Bart Starr, I don't think, gets a lot of credit, because the majority of that Packers team is in the Hall of Fame. And so a lot of people like to credit a whole bunch of other players. And yeah, they had a lot of great players, but Bart Starr was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And he was an excellent player. And when I've seen highlights of him, I'm like, I just marvel at watching him run the ball. And he would literally take on defenders like he was a running back. And it just was fun to watch. And I wish I could have seen him watch, I wish I could have seen him play, because he was a spectacular quarterback. And number six on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play is Lawrence Taylor. He played from 1981 to 1993. He was New York Giants linebacker. His career basically ended when I was kind of starting to watch football. So I don't really remember a lot of his career towards the end there. But he is by far one of the greatest football players of all time. Not just greatest defensive players, but he's just one of the greatest football players of all time. He really revolutionized the linebacker position. He really revolutionized defense. He was one of the most feared defenders that you will ever see play the game. And since Dick Butkus, really. I mean, like, he was just an absolute beast. I mean, he was so good that he was the MVP in 1986. And defensive players getting the MVP says a lot, because you have to be that fucking good to be recognized for the MVP. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ. He won with the Giants in Super Bowl 21 and 25 with Bill Parcells as his coach. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 1981, 1982, and 1986. In 1986, when he won the MVP and that Defensive Player of the Year, he also had a career high 20 and a half sacks. So Lawrence Taylor was a beast. Watching highlights of that dude, it's just insane to see what he used to do on the football field. And that's another dude where if quarterbacks of today had to see that dude coming running at him, they wouldn't know what the hell to do. Then number five on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play is Bob Lilly. He played from 1961 to 1974 with my Dallas Cowboys at defensive tackle. He was actually the first ever Dallas Cowboys pick. I call him the number one cowboy, a lot of people call him Mr. Cowboy, but he's like number one to me because he was their first pick. He was with them when they went to their first Super Bowl, which was Super Bowl V, which they lost. And he actually has this memorable moment after they lose. He throws his helmet in the air, and he says it's one of his most embarrassing moments of all time, because I think he said like a kid walked up to him and picked up his helmet and like, why'd you do that, Mr. Lilly? And he's all like, I don't know, kid. I just lost a game. And he just felt really stupid. But then the following year, the Cowboys ended up going to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl VI and winning it. And that was the first Super Bowl for the Cowboys as well. So he basically, Bob Lilly is the number one cowboy. He is who started this gangsta shit. And that's the motherfucking thanks he gets, because he was a spectacular player too. I mean, he was just a great player. I mean, he dominated that Cowboys defense of the 60s and 70s, was extremely dominant. He was the focal point of that team. And I mean, he really was, he was everything that like a Dallas Cowboy should be. He was tough. He was hard-nosed. He was all about going to work. He didn't put up with any bullshit. He still doesn't put up with any bullshit. And he was, watching highlights of him is great. And I would have loved to see him play, because A, he played for my favorite team of all time, and it would have been cool to see what the first ever draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys did in his time. Then my number four, top 10 NFL players of the past that wish I could have seen play, O.J. Simpson, played from 1969 to 1979 with the Buffalo Bills as the running back. I know the league likes to act like O.J. Simpson doesn't exist. I know we're all supposed to hate O.J. Simpson, and yes, he as a human being, we could tell he's not that great. Whoop-dee-fucking-do. I don't give a shit about that. When I'm watching sports, I only care about what you're doing on the field. And when you watch Simpson, O.J. Simpson highlights, that dude was a bad man on the field. I mean, no, the closest thing that we have to him in the league today is Derrick Henry, who's a great running back. But man, O.J. Simpson, he kind of got screwed too because he played for the Bills. And he only ended up playing in one playoff game in his entire career, which is really sad because he was such an amazing running back. So, and it's nice to hear he doesn't really complain about that because there are some players who think that when they play for a shitty team, they don't usually rep their team. But, you know, he actually still is a Bills fan. He still talks about the Bills all the time. You know, career highlights, he other than, you know, stabbing people to death, his career highlights as a football player, he was MVP 1973. He was the rushing leader in the league four times in 1972, 1973, 1975, and 1976. In the 1973 season, when he won the MVP, he actually was the first ever player to rush for, first ever player at the running back position to rush for over 2,000 yards. He rushed for 2,003 yards total in 14 games. Now, let me tell you, that says a lot because the league went to 16 games, I think in like the late 80s, early 90s. And now here we are, we have 17 games. So he ran for over 2,000 yards in only 14 games. That just goes to show you what an excellent running back he was. And remember, he played for a shitty team as well. He's one of only six players ever, he's the only player ever to have, six games where he rushed for over 200 yards as well. So, he still, to this day, is one of the greatest running backs of all time. And it would be interesting to know, like, if he had actually gone and played for, like, say, like he played with the Dallas Cowboys in this time. I mean, he would actually probably go down as one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. I think the reason why a lot of people forget about him, not just because of all the bullshit that's happened since the trial with Nicole Brown, and then when he went to prison for that stupid theft of merchandise or whatever the fuck it was, but all his dumb shit now, it's like, I think a lot of that and the fact that he played for the Bills really erases what an excellent running back he was, because he was. He was. When you watch highlights of O.J. Simpson, that dude, he made running look easy. And when he was with USC, he was a national champion and a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a Hall of Fame running back, and he was an excellent running back, and I wish I could have seen him play, and I wish I could know him as a football player rather than a murderer. So number three then on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play is Jim Brown. He played from 1957 to 1965. He was with the Cleveland Browns his entire career as a running back. And he also played before the league became the NFL. So he never won a Super Bowl, but he did win a championship in 1964. He was the league MVP in 1957, 1958, and 1965, and he's the only player ever, still to this day, to average 100 yards per game as a running back. And he ended his career with 12,312 yards. At the time, that he was the leading rusher until Walter Payton ended up breaking that mark. He is one of the greatest football players of all time. If you want to say there would be like an ambassador of football, I think Jim Brown would be it. When he retired, he really only retired, not because of health, But he really retired because he could tell the Cleveland Browns weren't really going in a good direction as a team. He didn't think they were being serious, and he was starting to get into acting. And since acting became more lucrative for him, he just ended up retiring. So if Jim Brown would have played longer, it would be interesting to see where his numbers would have ended up in the end. But he was also a spectacular running back and probably one of the greatest football players of all time. Then number two on my top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play is Dick Butkus. He played from 1965 to 1973. He was a Chicago Bears linebacker. First of all, the number one thing I love about Dick Butkus is he has the greatest name of all time. I mean, hello, Dick Butkus. I mean, when I heard his name and I was a kid, I thought it was a joke because I'm like, Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus. I mean, come on, greatest name ever. So that alone is great. But then when you see his highlights, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to be making fun of this guy because he can't step on the field today. As a matter of fact, he is one of the greatest Twitter follows of all time. He just posts random shit where he's a smartass and says fucked up shit. And one of the things he said is if he stepped onto the field in today's game, he would get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty just by stepping onto the field. Because today's game, you know, I mentioned Jack Tatum. I mentioned Mean Joe Green. I mentioned Lawrence Taylor. Ain't none of them Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus is one of the greatest football players of all time as well. That guy, he would knock you the fuck out. And when you watch highlights of him, oh, God, it's just so much fun. And I'm just like, oh, my God, how great would that have been to see Dick Butkus play? He was the defensive player of the year in 1969 and 1970. He ended his career with a total of 22 interceptions and 27 fumbles. And at the time, and I think it still actually stands as a record right now, the fumbles. So, and he's also known as one of the greatest tacklers of all time. And if you just watch the game and you watch highlights of Dick Butkus, yeah, that dude is a beast. He unfortunately never won a Super Bowl. And he didn't really have that long of a career. I mean, 8 years is actually not that long of a career, but also at the same time, I'm sure he was pretty beat up as well, because that dude used to be a killer on defense, that's for sure. And now for my number one top 10 NFL players of the past I wish I could have seen play, you know it's a Dallas Cowboy. You know it had to be a Dallas Cowboy. And that is the one and only Roger Staubach. He played from 1969 to 1979 as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. He was actually drafted in 1964, but because he was in the Navy and at this time in this day and age, they didn't give a shit if you were in football. It was you go to war, and at the time the Vietnam War was going on, so he had to skedaddle and go do some real shit. And so the first 4 years of his career, he was in the Navy. And then he did, I think it was the fourth year, he did, you know, go back and forth between playing in like training camp with the Cowboys, but he actually didn't start playing until 1969. When it started out as a back and forth between he and Craig Morton, Tom Landry really could never make up his mind. It's one of the weirdest storylines. I remember even when I first started watching like Dallas Cowboys history and the seasons when Roger Staubach played, it's really crazy because basically Roger Staubach's almost entire career, especially like the first 5-6 seasons, Tom Landry could not make up his mind whether he would want Roger Staubach to start a game or whether he wanted Craig Morton to start a game. And there would be games where he would start with one and then he would start with another. And then finally Staubach was like, dude, you just have to make a fucking decision. And it needs to be one of us. And so he finally ended up leaning more towards Staubach. And it's actually pretty ironic, too. The first Super Bowl that the Cowboys ended up winning was against the Broncos, and Craig Morton was the quarterback at the time. So that was kind of ironic that actually happened. It's weird that Roger Staubach had to go through that, because he is literally one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's he's also similar to Bart Starr because, like I said, back in those days, running for a quarterback was actually quite common. And that's really what Roger Staubach was known for. He was called Roger the Dodger because, you know, he would dodge defenders all the time and he would get out of the pocket and then he would make these insane throws. He and Drew Pearson are the creators of the Hail Mary. They did the first ever Hail Mary. And so that's kind of what Roger Staubach was known for. He was shifty. He knew how to get away from defenders. And also, at the same time, in college, he was an excellent quarterback. I mean, he played for Navy. If you don't realize, and if you're a college football fan, Navy ain't competing these days for anything other than just being a football team. But under Roger Staubach, they actually competed. They didn't get the national title, but they were in contention to be a national title, play in the national title. And he was a Heisman Trophy winner. So, I mean, even his college career, he was spectacular. He goes to the Cowboys. He plays spectacular. They win 2 Super Bowls with him, Super Bowl VI and Super Bowl XII. They ended up going to 4 Super Bowls, losing the 2 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And one, they barely lost. God, I can't remember his name, the receiver who dropped. But in one of the Super Bowls, I think it was 13. It might have been 13, where Roger Staubach throws the touchdown to Jackie something or other. God, I can't remember his name. But he throws to the receiver in the end zone for the Cowboys, and it hits him right in the breadbasket. And any receiver should catch this ball. He drops it in the end zone, and the Cowboys could have won that Super Bowl, and they didn't because of it. But, you know, watching old highlights of Roger Staubach is just something else. I mean, he was a crazy quarterback. He had a great arm. It's just fun to watch quarterbacks like both he and Bart Starr just take on defenders like one-on-one. And they took on excellent defenders, you know, like I named off. We got Bob Lilly in there. You got Dick Butkus in there. You got Mean Joe Green in there. Jack Tatum. And even beyond, you know, the Jack Lamberts of the league at that time. There were so many great players at this time. So to see these quarterbacks really just take on defenders one-on-one and just make these insane plays at the time, it's fun to watch. And if you haven't watched any highlights of any of these guys, I really suggest that you do, because this was a spectacular time in football. Hell, even when I see old highlights of 90s games, I'm like, damn, they actually used to be able to play. And I'm not saying dudes who play football today are pussies. Obviously, they are not. They play a hard game. They play a tough game. I have no problems with them trying to, quote, make the game safer, even though I don't really know how you can make a game safe where there's dudes literally running at each other. But okay, I'm totally fine with them trying to make it a safer game. But you know, a lot of these rules, they are just catered to the quarterbacks. And I also get it because, you know, the owners spend a lot of money on their quarterbacks. But the fact that, like, you can't even, like, tackle a quarterback basically these days. And when a receiver crosses over the middle and takes a really strong hit from a safety, in a legal manner too, led with the shoulder, not his head, they call it. They throw a flag, and it's just absolute bullshit. And it sucks to see that. So if you want to see some real football played, go watch the highlights of these 10 guys that I just named off. And you'll see some really excellent football. And I guarantee you dudes from today wouldn't even be able to keep up, especially with some of these defenders that are in here. But I mean, I picked a little bit of everything here. I got a couple running backs, quarterbacks, defensive players. It was fun to look at all these highlights again. And, like I said, I suggest that you go take a look at them as well, because they were great players. And, since I went ahead and named off some players of the past, going to go ahead and end it with a quote from the great Deacon Jones, the, Los Angeles Rams Hall of Fame defensive end, who actually almost made this top 10 players of the past. He just missed with Jack Tatum. I had to put Jack Tatum in over him, but Deacon Jones, first of all, the name alone it screams scary ass defensive player. He is another spectacular defensive player. I suggest you go watch highlights of this guy too. But here is a quote from Deacon Jones on Dick Butkus. Butkus was a well-conditioned animal, and every time he hit you, he tried to put you in the cemetery, not the hospital. Enjoy the weekend, guys. I'll talk to you on Monday.